Joining us on the telephone line is ultra marathon runner Samantha Gash, who has just completed Run India, which really took her across the breadth of India, from the west to the east. Samantha, welcome to SBS Radio.
Thank you for having me.
That's a huge achievement. Tell us what it entailed. I know it took 76 days, but where did you start? Where did you finish? How did you do it?
I ran from Jaisalmer in Rajasthan, which is in the west of India, mm-hmm. all the way across to the east of India in Shillong, which is in Meghalaya.
Yes.
And I'm not quite sure how I did it, but I had a pretty amazing team who came out with me, and I really just focused on one day at a time. So, like, the overall distance, you know, is something that I can't even fathom now that I've even done it.
Yes.
But I think, you know, I just really focused on one day at a time, and even sometimes just broke the day up into half a day.
Yeah.
And when the day was done, I kind of threw it over my shoulder, whether it was a good day or a bad day, and then just kind of focused on the next day.
I mean, starting from the desert and finishing up in pretty much rainforests, which are almost like the Amazon.
Yes.
I mean, you've traversed across all of these different climate conditions, different traveling conditions. So how many kilometres did you do every single day?
Yeah, so I probably had about 8 or 9 days when I wasn't running, when I was just in communities at World Vision Support across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then the days that I ran, it was between, you know, 50, with my largest day being at 76 kilometres. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, the running component was definitely, it was a challenge, and you're right, like, there was such change in climate, although it was far hotter than I expected it to be for the majority of the run.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the fact that I got to, you know, connect with communities across the country and really get an understanding about, you know, how they live and who they are as people, I think that made the project definitely doable.
And to think you're a lawyer by profession.
What made you do this? I don't practice anymore, so I'm a lapsed lawyer. But that my training was in law, and I practiced for a couple of years.
Okay. Now, this was for World Vision, to raise awareness about women's rights and children's rights, and also for education. So tell us a little bit more about your inspiration behind this.
Yeah, so the focus of the project was to explore the barriers to why a child across India might not be able to go to school, and to look at it in the context of, I suppose, when you go across India, the barriers why a child can't go to school are very unique to the area in which you're living in. And so it was to kind of look at issues of gender bias, malnutrition, prevalence of the sex trade, child labour, you know, all these different factors which can prevent a child from being able to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully exploring tangible solutions to that, which is what World Vision works with within that community.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of my motivation behind doing it. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely something that I tapped into pretty much every single day, which kind of fueled my motivation to keep pushing forward when some things got pretty tough going for me.
Sam, you're a true blue Aussie. What made you choose India?
I love India. I travelled to India in 2011 and just really fell in love with the country and, you know, the diversity. And, you know, everyone talks about the richness of culture of India. And I think if you've travelled to India, you know what that really means.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the geography and landscape of India is just so incredible. But then you have this huge percentage of the population that are living in such harsh conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, yeah, access to education is something that I really think is important to address around the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wanted to connect something that I can do, which is run long, to something that I care about in India.
Yes. Now, I've had a lucky childhood in India, going to different parts every 2 years and looking at very remote communities. And the enduring memory for me is the poorest of the poor have such a big smile and such a large heart. So I wonder what your stories are. What are the lasting images and experiences of this epic journey?
I mean, that's true. I think it doesn't take much to make someone smile, particularly when their access to comforts can be incredibly low. You know, I think I experienced both. I experienced some sadness with young children being highly malnourished, their parents in anguish to take them to limited medical resources, and the idea that to take them to to receive medical attention means that they can't work for those couple of days they take them. And on the other side, I saw just such hope and inspiration from groups of women who are collaborating together on economic development projects that are providing sustainable solutions for their family and their communities at large. So I definitely experienced the breadth of emotion from people within India, and I think there is a lot of hope from people in India, even when they're living in such challenging circumstances. And it can be the smallest thing that can be a game changer for people to be able to move forward in their lives. And I think education is the source of that. It really can make all the difference.
Do some conversations stand out, or some particular experiences throughout this journey? You must have met a myriad of people. Have some things stayed with you which you feel will stay with you for a lifetime?
Oh, I mean, yes. And I think I'm still trying to kind of get my head around the conversations and the engagements that I had with different people. I mean, up when I was in the foothills of the Himalayas, the strength of the women in those communities was incredibly empowering for me to be able to run through those communities and meet women who were taking some strong initiatives to change, I suppose, the landscape that they were living through. The monsoon season recently in India was very devastating for many communities, with people passing away and, you know, access to food security was low. And so I think meeting people after dealing with such adversity and seeing, like, their strengths, I definitely take that away.
Now, this couldn't have been easy on you yourself, on your physical body as such, because running 50 to 70 kilometres every day and a different climate, different air quality, no road rules, actually. So
yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about how it was for you personally.
I mean, it was hard. You know, I don't normally run on the roads. I'm normally a trail runner. And so to kind of be running on Indian roads in the middle of, you know, some incredibly hot climate, it took a lot to get used to. And I know, I mean, yes, often the road rules in India are very unique. And sometimes I would be running on a highway where I was running, you know, in the direction of the traffic, and then all of a sudden a car would be coming straight towards me. And I'm like, they're not even meant to be on this side of the road. But there was method in the madness. You know, the crazy horns actually, for the most part, serve a purpose to give attention that they're coming up that direction. You know, I think the soundtrack of horns is something that will not leave my eardrums for a long time to come. Yeah, I just think we do become accustomed to the environment that we spend the time in. And so it was very hard at the beginning, and then I got used to it. It became my new level of normal. And it was only when I was really, when I was being pushed so hard, that difference became quite overwhelming to me later on in the trip. You know, when the horns would be just, you know, I'd cringe and like, can't they just stop? But yeah, I definitely felt that I became stronger as the run grew on, and maybe my resilience became stronger to that environment.
Now, after all of that huge effort, I think the donations were coming through till the 13th of November. The last I heard was $150,000 raised. What is the final figure that you've been able to?
Do you know, I'm at an event with NAB right now in World Vision where we've got people on treadmills in the foyer, and we're taking donations. So the donation tally keeps going up, and I haven't had a final read on it yet. So yeah, we're certainly over 150,000, and we're still taking donations. So hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we can give you a more final number.
So was it worth the sore legs and that huge, huge amount of effort you put in?
Yeah, I feel so. I feel that we provided a real-time dialogue of the challenges that people face within India, as well as the stories of success. We've raised funds that are going to go towards supporting six education projects, World Vision support across India, and the donations are still coming in. And I just think we gave a spotlight to people's stories that probably are very infrequently told. And on a personal level, I feel completely enriched from the experience that I had, and it was worth the footsteps and the occasional pain that I had to go through.
Would you go back?
To India, certainly. To run across India, probably not. Yeah, no need to run across it again. But yes, I think India is in my blood now. And I think for many people who spend an extended period of time in there, once you've gotten to that level of India, it's there forever. So I will certainly be back in the future.
It's been wonderful just talking to you and, you know, hearing about this journey. It's almost hair-raising listening to your experiences. Heartiest congratulations. It's
Thank
not
you.
A small feat to achieve. So good luck.
Thank you.
And I think rest up before you come up with your next
Don't
challenge.
Don't worry. That's my answer. I have no immediate plans to doing anything like that quite yet.
Thank you very much for speaking to us, Samantha. Wish you the best.
Thank you very much. Bye. SBS.
This is SBS Radio.